This is Harv Aronson of the Total Sports Recall Podcast, and I recently decided to give Sterling Soap Company's Ground Breakfast Blend coffee a try. While brewing, the aroma was inviting and the taste, lightly sweet and delicious, as the texture of this amazing coffee was sweet and smooth, as I experienced a coffee with a velvety texture, almost creamy. Sterling's breakfast blend is light but in no way weak, with a high quality taste and smell. My wife and I are now hooked on Sterling Soap coffee, and you should be too. Check out their coffees and other products at sterlingsoap.com. That's S-T-I-R-L-I-N-G soap.com.
The 1969 American football season stands as a magnificent threshold in sports history. It marked the final year of the divided professional landscape before the historic AFL-NFL merger. While college football celebrated centennial anniversary with one of the most dramatic games ever played in the history of football, 1969 is our year. We're celebrating it all week long here on Pigskin Dispatch as part of our celebration of the American football timeline. You can check that out at pigskindispatch.com/timeline. Now, the 69 season, what more can we say? You know, it started off with the Rose Bowl game, and it had a Super Bowl, which really defined an era and really put football, pro football, on its ear. Because that's the year that at the end of the 1968 season, Super Bowl played in the January of that year, January 12th to be exact, in the Orange Bowl in Miami, was Super Bowl III. The AFL and the NFL were separate leagues still. They were on the path to a merger. There was a plan for the merger. They had the same shared championship game, but it was the champion of the AFL playing the champion of the NFL. The first two Super Bowls that we know of, the AFL-NFL championship games, as they were called in the early days, was the Green Bay Packers and Bart Starr as the MVP, winning both those games. The senior league dominating, just as everybody thought that they would. But Junior really grew up in Super Bowl III. And a brash young quarterback named Joe Namath made a promise and a guarantee that his New York Jets and the upstart AFL were going to defeat the Baltimore Colts, who were juggernauts during the 1968 season. And defeat them, they did. He came true on his prediction. A 16-7 victory for the Joe Namath and Don Maynard and Matt Snell and all the rest of them. Over the Johnny Unitas and Earl Merle, and, you know, coached by Don Shula, Baltimore Colts. The Jets, of course, were coached by Weeb Eubank, who had some success in the NFL, as we saw in the 1958 greatest game ever played. He was a coach in that game, too, winning the championship of the NFL. So, we used to talk about it, you know. That was January 12th. January 1st, we had a marquee matchup in the 54th Rose Bowl game on New Year's Day. The Ohio State Buckeyes, with their head coach Woody Hayes, would square off against John McKay, another legendary coach of the USC Trojans. Now, the Ohio State team came to play. They overwhelmed the Trojans 27-16. Rex Kern, the quarterback of the Buckeyes, ended up being the most valuable player in that game. And, tremendous game that was to end the 1968 college football season. But then we come down to, you know, things that were happening in the, you know, the season itself. We had the AFL All-Star Game on January 19th. That same day, the NFL Pro Bowl was taking place. So the leagues were still being separate. January 27th, right near the end of the month there, the Pittsburgh Steelers named a new head coach, a guy by the name of Chuck Knoll. Chuck Knoll had previously been an assistant coach with the Colts and with the Browns under Paul Brown. So he studied under Shula and Paul Brown. And actually, he played under Paul Brown as well. Chuck Knoll is a coach and goes on to take his team to win four Super Bowls with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, the day after that, January 28th, It was the 1969 NFL draft, and the top draft pick was the Heisman Trophy winner from 1968, O.J. Simpson from Southern Cal. The Buffalo Bills picked him, and they did have a shared draft in 1969, both leagues, the AFL and the NFL. And the Oakland Raiders also made history just days after the Steelers announced Chuck Knoll. Another legend took over for the Oakland Raiders. John Madden became the head coach. Now, Madden was the youngest man in the AFL at the time, and he led the Silver and Black through the 1978 season, never suffering a losing record and compiling an incredible 103-32-7 mark. And he reached his crowning achievement in Super Bowl XI and secured his renown by winning five straight AFC West titles, 72-76, before becoming the most iconic color analyst in broadcasting history. We have a great interview where we talked about Madden and Summerall with an author that wrote that book. You can check that out in our podcast and on YouTube channel, or just go on Pigskin Dispatch and put in Madden and Summerall. That'll pop right up in our powerful search box that we have there. Now, in April, the AFL and the NFL were in the final stages of finalizing the details for their most postseason merger. The date was a deadline for several interleague paperwork filings that officially consolidated the scouting reports for the upcoming 1970 transition that would combine these two leagues and make the mega league of the NFL that we know it today. Before we move on, let's take a time to listen to this little commercial break. Think you know your football history? It's time to put your pads on with the Pigskin Trivia Drive. Choose your play, go for a run, short pass, or risk it all with a long pass. Answer fast to rack up the yardage and reach the yellow line for a first down and earn an audible to wipe away those wrong answers. But watch out, that play clock has got you. We got 25 seconds before the penalty hits. Score as many touchdowns as you can in 5 minutes and claim your spot on the global leaderboard. Pigskin Trivia Drive, where your football IQ is the MVP. Play now at pigskindispatch.com.
Hey, this is Del Reed, co-founder of Bills Mafia and founder of 26shirts.com, where behind every shirt there is a story, and you are listening to the Pigskin Dispatch.
The Philadelphia Eagles were sold on May 1st to truck magnate Leonard Tose, who became their owner. And a couple weeks later, on May 17th, three NFL clubs, the Cleveland Browns, Baltimore Colts, and Pittsburgh Steelers, joined the AFL clubs to form the new National Football League American Conference. They needed to balance the NFL out. There were 10 teams from the AFL, and there were 16 teams from the NFL. So those 26 teams, they wanted to have 13 in each. So 16 minus 3, which are the Browns, the Colts, and the Steelers, go over to the AFL, or the AFC as we know it. September 21st, a special teamer booted a 98-yard punt in a professional NFL football game. Yeah, you read it correctly. I just told you, 98 yards in the air for a punt. That is the New York Jets punter Steve O'Neill took snap at his own 2-yard line, caught and punted the ball from deep in his own end zone, and the ball sailed past the Denver Broncos return man, who had his arms outstretched and trying to chase the ball, sort of, and it landed at the Denver 33-yard line, and the ground sent the ball screaming towards the Denver goal line and apparently into the end zone. Needless to say, it was a record that will probably stand the test of time. We've heard about these long punts with the bigger girth ball back in the early 1920s and early 1900s. You know, we think about Pete Henry, Fats Henry, you know, booting a ball to the moon and back, and this is one that happened with a modern football. The Wilson Duke that the NFL still uses to this day, same size and shape. September 28th, the Minnesota Vikings quarterback Joe Kapp threw 7 touchdown passes in a single game against a team that was in the Super Bowl just a year before, the Baltimore Colts. 52-14 was the victory for the Joe Kapp and the Vikings. The purple-clad Norseman won that game and very handily, and we're going on to some greater things, as we'll find out in a moment here. On November 22nd that year, the famous 10-year war was on full display when Coach Woody Hayes' Ohio State Buckeyes renewed the rivalry with Bo Schembechler's Michigan Wolverines in a thriller. Yes, that was quite a game. Schembechler's troops came ready to play. They sort of opened up, you know, exchanging touchdowns on four consecutive drives. It was 14-12. Then Michigan added another touchdown on a really a tremendous punt return and a field goal on the next possession to have the final score be 24-12 in favor of the Wolverines. And Schembechler got the better of Woody Hayes on that occasion. You know, that would go back and forth to just a tremendous rivalry that was building there. Well, it was already existed, but really, really accelerated, I guess. November 26th, the 35th Heisman Trophy selection was given to Steve Owens, a senior running back from Oklahoma, a winner of the nation's top college football individual award. Just a few days later, at Legion Field in Birmingham, Auburn defeated Alabama 49-26 in the 34th Iron Bowl game. And in the CFL, the Grey Cup was played on November 30th, and it was the Rough Riders versus the Rough Riders. It was a great, you know, the Ottawa Rough Riders against the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. And Ottawa wins that game 29-11 in a really rough ride, if you get my drift on that one, for the Grey Cup for our Canadian friends. December 6, 1969, it was many dubbed the game of the century, but one of the few that lived up to the billing. Number one ranked Texas traveled to play number two Arkansas, and the Razorbacks led at 14 in the final stanza, but the Longhorns rallied and escaped with a 15-14 victory. What a comeback that was, and had to be very exciting down there in Texas, and the burnt orange was celebrating that. The Continental Football League held its final game on December 13, 1969. That was a rival that was trying to gain some traction in some of the minor cities, the smaller cities around. They had a gigantic league. It was really a plethora amount of teams at one point in time. The league began in 1965, and in five seasons included 44 teams by combining several second-tier leagues, such as the Texas Football League, and created a broad and varied group before they closed 5 years later. December 21st, 1969, legendary coach Vince Lombardi coached his last football game. Yeah, he left the Green Bay Packers at the end of the 1968 season, signed on with Washington, and then because of disease, he had colon cancer. It was a terminal condition, and he September 3rd, 1970, Vince Lombardi, the great coach, died at the age of 57, a very young man. With all those great years he had in the Green Bay Packers organization. Well, that takes us into, we know how the 1969 season ended. We just had a YouTube short on it where Len Dawson and the Kansas City Chiefs came in and shocked the world again as the AFL defeated another powerhouse, the Minnesota Vikings of the NFL. Again, a big underdog were the Kansas City Chiefs, but it was the day for the Chiefs and Hank Stram and, you know, all the great players he had, including Len Dawson, to really shine and win that Super Bowl to end that season. So that's what we have for 1969. We are hoping you are enjoying our Gridiron Timeline series. If you want to check out the entire Gridiron Timeline, we're adding to it each and every day. You can go to pigskindispatch.com and you'll see Timeline at the very top. In a couple different spots. Also, check out our Gridiron Games. We just added a new one this week, Mahjong Tiles, with a football theme. I think you'll really enjoy that. You know, we have the guys working hard on that group, and you know, having a great games. We have great information, and the world's only American football timeline, where you can find everything of the sport that you love and the history you have. Now, make sure you check out that search box. We got it in a couple different places on Pigskin Dispatch, and search any page, search all our pages, and know exactly what football history you are looking for, including our podcasts and many of our videos that will come up when you do that search, to give you a great sign, because we truly are your portal of American football history here at Pigskin Dispatch. Till next time, everybody, we have more history to bring you. Have a great Gridiron Day.
Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I hope that you enjoyed this recent episode presented by the Sports History Network and were able to learn some good old-fashioned sports history knowledge nuggets. I started the Sports History Network back in 2020 with the mission to help podcasters find a community of like-minded sports history nerds, as well as helping aspiring podcasters to start their own shows. We have a little bit over 30 shows on the network right now covering all sorts of sports history. But as far as I'm concerned, we're just at the toothpick in the ocean moment, you know, that can't even figure it out because there's so much more coming. We wanted to create the ultimate headquarters for sports yesteryear, starting with Podcast Network and our website, but we're going to continue to move into other mediums as well. And here's the cool part, because we want you to be part of our team. So if you're interested in starting your own podcast, or maybe being a guest on one of our shows, or who knows, maybe even writing an article for us over on the website. Seriously, all you gotta do is reach out to us on the contact page over at sportshistorynetwork.com. You can be as technologically savvy as a Neanderthal tapping on a stone trying to figure out this whole hieroglyphics thing back in the day. Again, it doesn't matter, because even if you don't understand the whole podcast space, we have a production team that can pretty much help you out with doing everything. All you gotta do, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com, head to the contact page, fill it out. That message goes right to me, and I'll reach out to you as soon as I can. But for now, dude, I'm through if you're through.